Joining us now, the Maple Toyota Hotline. Here's Ray Ferraro, our TSN hockey analyst. I'm sure you saw. Did you see the Doughty comments on Tkachuk?
Yeah.
What do you make of those?
Well, interesting. Nobody says stuff like that. Usually just in the NBA, right? That you have somebody spouting off so directly towards another player. I guess the NFL does it too. So it's, I don't know, it seems really strange to see in the NHL. I kind of like it. They're not supposed to be friends all the time, but I you know, as you guys were saying, both of you, if they run into each other off the ice, I'm sure it's going to be fine. I mean, I'm sure there were lots of guys that didn't like me that I wouldn't have known because you run into them at a golf tournament and they say hi.
Yeah.
You know, like it didn't carry. The only one that didn't was for years and years was, you know, I didn't ever see him much, but when I did, I knew he just couldn't stand me. It was Chris Chelios. So he's, you know, he's friends with the Granados, and at one point he said to Cammy, you know, like, I can't believe you married that guy.
That's a bit bold.
I don't know. We didn't get into this last week. He had some comments about Babcock. He was on a morning show. Has this guy been vacationing on the sun? Have you seen a picture of him or seen the type of tan he's rolling with right now?
It's George Hamilton-like.
Tyson Nash has nothing on this guy.
Nasher looks like powder compared to Chris.
Exactly.
Charles. Powder.
He's enjoyed the sun, that's for sure. But I don't know, maybe they'll choose not to talk to each other. I mean, that's, you don't have to, right? He's not on your team, but I guarantee you, if he was on his team, they'd be
fast friends.
Together. Oh, you betcha. They'd love it.
But that's the one thing I have noticed is Tkachuk is in his kitchen. When I've watched them play, Doughty has not. He's more worried about a reverse hit, trying to get him instead of just playing.
Well, don't you think that continues tonight?
I think so.
Like, if I'm Matthew Tkachuk, I wear this like a badge of honor.
Yeah,
and I'm in warm up, staring at him.
Yeah,
I'm
giving him the smile with the mouth guard hanging. Like,
all
I mean,
day.
Tkachuk has that style. The younger brother's the same way. Brady's fantastic.
I did the game in Calgary last week. And one of the goals, Matthew knocked Brady off the puck in the corner and made, it was two passes later, it was in the net. And Matthew was sitting like in the first seat to my left and Brady was on the first seat to my right and they were chirping each other pretty good. And Matthew was giving it to him, you know, about just taking the puck from him. And I'm like, oh man, like it's just like they were playing in the basement. And I saw Keith after, and I said, man, your guys were going at it pretty good. He's like, you know, and he just laughs, right? Like, what are you going to do? But so I'm not surprised. He's in his own brother's kitchen, so I'm not surprised he's digging at somebody else.
Speaking of appearances, did you place eyes on Glenn Sather on Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know what this
is. Why does he just chewing on that cigar?
That's
with that
his thing, though. Like, I honestly, you guys know I got traded to the Rangers. I was there for 6 weeks. This guy used to walk around with a cigar in his mouth.
The Robin Hood
and
bucket.
A robe. A white robe.
Right. He had gloves on the whole time.
Why do you have the gloves on?
He's leaving like a murder scene or something.
He looks like Matlock.
Yeah. Like, what's with that?
But he's had the chewed cigar for forever, right?
Yeah.
What's he doing with it? Does he just light that thing up as soon as he exits the building or what?
I don't even know if he smokes it.
I think he does.
Just chews on it.
What's the point of that?
Just rip it in pieces and make a dip.
It doesn't seem very like I can't even quite understand the habit of that. Maybe he smoked cigars at one time and then his next step was not to smoke them, just to chew them. I don't know. It's about all I got.
Yeah. I love the guy that says he quit darts and then he just starts inhaling cigars. That's my fave. Actually, that's 5 times worse for you.
Yeah,
but I'm not smoking.
I feel like that's become his thing. You know, there's, you know, other guys have their look, their situation. I believe that Glenn Sather, it's the cigar. He's chewing it on it all the time. And, you know, I don't, what's his role? Is he,
I don't know what,
president?
Nothing.
Like, I don't think he's, I think he's advisor to Jeff Gordon, isn't he?
I think he's supposed to be kind of in between the GM and the owner, kind of. Like, that's his role, I guess. But he's been there for 20 years now.
That's the current GM's worst nightmare, the guy that just hanging around.
The owner, through MSG, there, James Dolan and him are pretty tight, and he's not going anywhere. He's got the job of being there, which I think would be a terrific job.
It's a spectacular gig if you can get it.
Yeah.
Because like they say, whenever you sell your business, always keep an office.
That's right.
Keep hanging around.
Yeah.
Well, he is. That's all he's doing.
I don't really understand the appeal of that, but I like.
You just get to hang around. You don't have to sit at home all day. Yeah, I'll just keep me on as some type of advisor.
I see.
Keep my office, and I'll be here daily.
Get
I won't
out of the
bother.
House,
I won't bother anyone. I just get my office.
Okay. Leafs Panthers tonight. Ray, you're in town calling it. You can watch it on TSN4. Hear it right here on TSN Radio. Now, 2 weeks ago, the Leafs, they were fishing pucks out of their net all night. And now they're not giving up many goals, but all of a sudden they can't score. And they might be in the softest portion of their whole schedule, the whole season. You know, with Buffalo and New York on Saturday, Florida tonight. They've got Ottawa again on Saturday night. All these non-playoff teams that aren't very good. Tonight they got a rookie in net. Like, it shouldn't this be a blowout tonight? Like, isn't it about time they smarten up here and just say, we're not going to just feel good about the puck possession or how we play defensively. Like, get off the snide tonight.
Well, it all lines up for it. I mean, the rookie goalie, Montembeau, gave up 6 on 32 shots the other night against Boston, and they're not going to play Luongo. He'll play tomorrow night in Montreal. They've had, 113 shots in their last three games. They've scored 5 goals. And so you would think against a team that can't keep the puck out of their net that they should get plenty of chances, and you would think eventually the puck's going to go in. That's what you think, except sometimes it just doesn't work that way. I like the way they've played from the Nashville game on. I've liked their game. It seems to be hard or elusive for them to put it all together on the same night. A good defensive performance and a really good offensive performance. That seems to be a challenge for them. And I guess really, as I look at the end of the season, that would be the goal, as I would look at it, is to try and have both things firing at the same time, because they haven't had it much.
Well, and you're never going to have all 12 forwards on like a goal scoring streak. You know, like, I know we're all focused on all these different guys who are really cooling down at this point, but I think there's two in particular that have got to be rolling come playoff time. For me, it's William Nylander's got to contribute with some goals, and you can sense his frustration today. He said, assists are great, and I feel like I'm around the net, but I'm getting paid to score some goals every once in a while. And Kadri's the other guy. You know, those are two of your top 5 forwards in terms of overall impact, I think, that they can have on the game.
Well, you generally don't 6-5 it or 5-1 it in the playoffs. You need a 2-1 hockey game or a 1-0 hockey game or 3-1 where you need a Marleau to score. You need a Connor Brown to score. It can't just be Tavares, Marner, Hyman, and Matthews.
I hear you, but those guys are going to chip in. Like, I'm not expecting Patrick Marleau to have 12 points in the
first
round.
Okay, if it's
the
2-1 game, Nazem Kadri's got to get a 2-1 goal. Those guys got to produce.
But every playoff has that, right? Every playoff's got a guy where, you don't expect them to score, and maybe it's somebody like Connor Brown that gets 2 goals in the series against Boston.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, wow, where did those come from? Because he's got 6 on the season, right? They're going to need them. They're going to need those goals, is what I meant. Like, that's what this team is supposed to be built on, is that they're, in my opinion anyway, is that their offense has depth. It's got high-end skill. And if you shut somebody down, somebody else is going to score. And right now, they got a handful of guys that have got 0-11 or 1-16 or whatever it is. It's not very good. And so I guess it's better now that they're all in the ditch than if they are come the second week of April. But it would be nice to get everybody feeling a little bit better about themselves and maybe a little more successful than they've been over the last couple of weeks or a month.
Well, that's what it is. Like, you start the playoffs, guys like Kadri, who haven't statistically had his best season, you got zeros. You can start. Like, that's what you expect. Is if you've had a dreadful regular season or a regular season that has consisted of injuries and inconsistencies, Guy like William Nylander is a prime example. Like he wasn't going to hit career highs in anything this year because he didn't join the team till December. But you're rolling at the right time. It's the secondary scoring, but maybe he's the difference maker. If everyone else cancels themselves off, you know that Pasternak and Marchand and Bergeron and DeBrusque, those guys are going to get their points. And on the other side, if it's Matthews and Marner and Tavares, like you're going to need a tiebreaker. You're going to need somebody that puts you over the top. And maybe it's Kapanen. Maybe it's Marlowe, who, you know, Marlowe's been quite invisible some nights where, and he's a quiet player that really does a lot of good things, but there's times where you're like, okay, you expect a little bit more right now, and I know everyone's looking at the age, and I don't think the legs have fallen off. I think he's a pretty consistent player, but maybe it's one of those seasons where he just doesn't hit 20 goals.
Yeah, he's consistently doing not anything right now.
So then maybe a playoff is Patty Marlowe steps up on top of the other guys.
I guess I look at this stuff about it'd be awesome to have everybody rolling as you get into the playoffs, but there's lots of times you look at a guy that's finished poorly, and for whatever reason, 3 days later, the playoffs start, and he's good. I don't really know why it is. I've had playoffs like that. I had playoffs where I came in rolling along, and then all of a sudden you can't score at all, and I don't really know why it happens, but the best part, or the best way, of course, is to get yourself as healthy and as ready as you can. And if that requires resting a guy now and then, I think you do it. If that requires some more minutes for some players and less minutes for others, I think you do it, because the focus now with, you know, Boston's pretty much gone. So it's the focus is being ready for game one. And that's what the Bruins are doing, too. They're mixing and matching their lines all over the place. They've had injury, but they're now trying Charlie Coyle on the wing. They're trying him at center. They're trying Dan Heinen on one position. They're trying him in another position. They're trying to get their lineup ready for that, not for now, for that second week of April.
Who's your money on, Ray? Columbus or Montreal?
Man, I keep waiting. Maybe I'm just a dummy, but I keep expecting Columbus to roll off about four wins, you know, and like just jump away, and it just doesn't happen. I'm still going to take them, and I don't even really know why.
They look good last night. That I was raving about that Josh Anderson. I think he's a heck of a player.
Fourth round pick. The kid's built like a, honestly, he's built like a cement mixer.
Yeah.
And like he gets rolling, and it's tough to slow him down, and he can shoot, and he's having an outstanding season.
Yeah. I keep, and I've said this before, like I thought Carolina was going to be the team on the outside, but McElhinney's standing on his head, Mrazek's standing on his head, and they look like a team that's destined.
Right.
Like they can't lose.
They're two back in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like I don't think they're looking behind them necessarily right now. Why wouldn't Carolina get greedy here? Why not sneak into the three seed if you can?
Well, I look at, you know, the two goalies couldn't be more different. You know, their defense is good and mobile. They skate like heck, and you know, I guess they've probably been a team I expected to fade away, and I'm with you guys. I think they're in.
Yeah, it feels that way.
Would Rod Brind'Amour? I mean, this is the one thing I am struggling with, Ray. I know you've got a vote, and I've got a vote. Like coach of the year, like there. I think there's a lot of candidates. Coop for me is still like you've got what Tampa's been doing, keeping them motivated, everyone running. But like Billy Peters, Rod Brind'Amour, Barry Trotz, Rick Tocchet, like there. This is a year where, to me, I think there's some great candidates out there.
Bruce Cassidy doesn't get enough love.
Yeah,
no kidding.
That's a good call.
Yeah, you're right. That's a great point.
2 years in a row.
He's had a MASH unit for about 3 months, and remember at the start of the year they had 5 of the 6 D out.
Yeah,
and here they are again. So this will be a of the ones we, you know, that we vote on, or you know, that I've got to vote for, this will be one of the tougher ones to get right, I think.
Before we let you go, the big news yesterday: Rob Gronkowski announcing his retirement, and I'm not sure anyone's convinced that it's 100% he's leaving the game and never coming back. His agent, I think, was on ESPN this morning and said there's a chance if Brady called him up at some point and needed him, maybe he'd be willing to field that call. But you're a football guy. Are you going to remember Gronk for what he did on the field or the off-the-field antics?
I think impossible to separate.
Yeah.
One is the other. You know, I when I think of him on the field, I think of him wearing that knee brace on his elbow. Like, I mean, the thing was ginormous, right? I'm like, what the hell is he wearing? And then when he was back as the safety guy against Miami, and he just blew a shoe and fell face first onto the ground, and they had that punt that went, you know, that or the game-winning reverse and trickery play. And then I think of all the times where you knew the ball was going there, and they've got him double-covered, and that beast just goes up and gets it. Like, he was, I mean, first ballot Hall of Famer. Like, he was an amazing player.
Yeah, I'm with you, though.
But, man, did he have fun.
I don't think you can separate the two because of the team he played on and because he was allowed to have fun, right? Like, if he was on any other team, you'd be like, okay, he's one of the guys. But you think about the Brady-Belichick era that has run for 19 years, maybe the most successful duo in the history of football, maybe pro sports. And there's been so many great players and different personalities and characters that have rolled through that compound over 19 years. And the number one guy you think of when you think of a character and a personality is Gronk.
Yeah.
You think of Gronk. And outside of Brady, you may consider him the second greatest Pat in the past 20 years. So he's both.
Let's go on a cruise with Gronk in the offseason.
That's what's coming, man. He's going to be at WrestleMania. I think he'll be there. He's going to get into acting.
Like, if you did a raffle where you could buy tickets to go on a cruise, like, it would be in Maxim magazine as things to do, trips to go on.
He's going to make potentially as much money off the field than playing football.
He's a brand, right? He's so big, he's disassociated himself with the NFL in a way.
I read an article, and I hope I don't have this backwards, but he never spent $1 of his NFL salary. He lived off his endorsements. So whatever he made, that's what he's got. You know, plus the, you know, whatever was left over from the endorsement. So we think of him as this big buffoon, or at least I do. I'm like, he's kind of a hound. It looks like he's a boozer. You know, he's like a party guy, and then he's this great player, but he's got his stuff together.
Oh, yeah, he does. He definitely does.
And I think that's maybe as amazing as anything. And something that when I read this article, I'm like, man, I can really respect that. That is really cool.
Leafs-Panthers tonight on TSN 4. We'll catch you there, and we'll break it all down tomorrow at 5 p.m.
Talk to you then, boys.
There's Ray Ferraro joining us here on the Maple Toyota Hotline.